Well, good morning, everyone. It's nice to have your brother on the platform with you, especially when you only have 30 minutes. Just in case I go over, I know he's going to be very forgiving. He doesn't mind speaking for 25 minutes or 20. About 12 years ago, I wrote a book on David's tabernacle. And in one of the chapters, I write about David's first attempt to bring revival to Zion. David had just taken the stronghold of Zion, defeated the Jebusites, and he's going to make Jerusalem his capital. And he has a great desire to bring the presence of God, to bring revival to Zion. So we're looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 2 through 4. And it begins, "And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, If it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul." And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Now, in the Old Testament, the ark symbolized revival. In fact, the ark was a type of Christ. And within that ark, of course, there was the rod that budded, speaks of resurrection life, and also speaks of revelation, because within that ark there was the golden pot of manna, the hidden manna of the word. And then also there was the tables of stone, the law, speaks of the new covenant, the law written within. And it symbolized the glory and the presence of the Lord, because the presence of the Lord dwelt between the cherubims. And so it was quite an awesome piece of furniture where that ark went, the glory cloud went, and things moved. True revival is when Christ visits his church. Somebody once had a vision of the ark of the covenant for priests coming down the aisle of their church, and revival broke forth in that church. But true revival is when Christ comes to his temple. Amen? So in short, the ark symbolized revival. All of Israel said, yes, this is the right thing to do. Let's do it. And just for your information, the ark had been sequestered away in the wood in Kirjath-Jearim for somewhere between 80 to 100 years. Some chronologists actually think it was longer than that, but I think it would be safe to say 80 to 100 years the ark was missing. And so, continuing in verse 5 through 12, this is a long section, but this is my longest section of the word. So, in verse 5, "So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up, and Israel to Baalah," that is to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, "to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. They carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might and with singing, with harps and psalteries and timbrels, with cymbals and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he had put his hand to the ark. And there he died before the Lord, before God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, Wherefore, that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So this first attempt to bring revival to Zion ended in disaster. And one thing that we learn from the Old Testament laws of worship, especially in Leviticus, is that God is very precise about protocol and procedure. He doesn't just accept any worship. He has his procedure. And something was majorly out of order here in bringing up this ark on an ox cart. But God is very precise about the way things are done. And these Old Testament procedures were to teach us spiritual principles. We can't discard them because they all teach us spiritual principles. Now, in my book, I listed 5 cardinal mistakes that they made in their attempt to bring this ark up. We don't have time to cover all 5 this morning. But my main thought concerns the threshing floor, because before any significant revival comes, I believe that there is a threshing floor where God separates the chaff and the wheat. Or we could also use the example of a house cleaning, because you see that in Scripture too. Hezekiah's time, there was major house cleaning before glorious revival came. This kind of picks up where Pastor Ted Topper left off last night. As Pastor Topper said, the church comes to a crucial place before revival comes, and so there's a real sorting out. God is dealing with our hearts, where our hearts are being sifted out before the judgment seat, and God is checking our motives and everything, because if God allows revival to come when things are out of order, then it's as though God puts a stamp on error, on things that are wrong. So there's always a sifting out, and God allows things to come to sift us out too. And God led his people into the desert where there were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and sometimes things get dry in the church and people look for better places to go that where they feel God is moving, and so on and so forth. But the threshing floor spiritually is where God separates the true and the false. And I think this coincides with all of Scripture, with Jesus' teaching on the tare and the wheat. He demonstrated this when he went into his temple with a whip. Before he's going to dwell in his temple, things are going to be overturned and cleansed out. But as we said, if the Lord blessed a major move that had flaws in it, then it would be as though those flaws could be promulgated and, you know, multiplied as the revival continues. So God has to deal with things, and I feel God is dealing with us all. I feel we're on the threshing floor, and God wants us to get things right. So before the Lord returns, there's going to be major shaking. I mean, we're talking about revival here, but before the Lord actually comes back, there's going to be major shaking. Everything is going to be shaken that is shakable. And these are familiar verses to us, but I'm quoting from Haggai and chapter 2 and verse 6 through 7. And if I seem as though I'm hurrying, here I am to make my deadline here, but in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 6 and 7, Haggai says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once more it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, let's make several observations on this passage here. Yet once more, we're talking about one more time that God is going to shake heaven, the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, everything that's shakable, before he comes. And the previous shaking that he's alluding to here goes back to Mount Sinai, and things were shaken there. Yet one more time, I'm going to shake the heaven and the earth. We're talking about not only the natural things, but the spiritual things. Now, I've seen this in a vision. In fact, in Mexico, I saw the whole world shaking violently, and I was afraid. I am not a fearful type of person, except when I stand behind the pulpit, but other than that. But I saw the whole world shaking. I was afraid, and I was just crying out to God. I said, "Oh, God, where can we go? Where can we hide?" It was like there was no place to go. And then I felt the covering wings of the mercy seat come over me. I felt the shadow, and I had perfect peace. And that's where we want to be when the shaking comes. We want to be in the Holy of Holies. But also, it says, and I'm going to fill this house with glory. Now, we could ascribe that to the millennial temple, which would be true, because before the Lord comes back, the earth is going to be shaken. And, of course, Ezekiel's temple is going to be filled with the glory of God because the Lord himself comes into the temple. But the church preempts those promises. And so the spiritual house is going to be filled with glory. There's going to be a shaking, and the spiritual house is going to be filled with glory. It's going to be a glorious church, spotless, holy. It's going to be a beautiful bride. So I think we see the procedure here, that God is going to shake things up before the Lord comes back. But even concerning revival, we desperately need to see revival in this country. And before revival comes, God deals with the people that through whom he's going to bring revival. Now, just quoting again, Paul makes reference to this passage here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26 through 27. And he says, he's quoting Haggai, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So Paul is talking about the final shaking that's coming before the Lord's return, which, again, includes the physical realm. Everything that man puts his confidence in is going to be shaken, and in the spiritual as well. I mean, for the moment, that's our concern, the spiritual realm. Doctrines, dogmas, concepts, precepts, notions, ideas, predictions, everything that comes from man gets shaken, so that only the true is standing at the end. Amen. All the inventions of men have to go before it's all over. Be a part of this glorious church. And I think that lines up with what Isaiah said in chapter 28 concerning the stone laid in Zion, that everything that doesn't square up to that stone, vertically, horizontally, everything that doesn't square to the stone, which is Christ, is swept away in the storm. So everything has to square up to the doctrine of Christ in the end, or else it gets swept away. Only the unshakable remains. So this shaking includes people and ministries that do not correct, that do not take their measurements from the stone. And we're talking about the true church, because there does have to be the false church here to take people that out that are false. So the false church will be here, but we're talking about God's dealing with the true church. Amen? Now, back in our early history here in this country, before the Great Awakening, the first Great Awakening here in this country, the church was asleep. The chronologers of the time describe the church as being asleep. Young people were frivolous. There was drunkenness and immorality. And there was great concern, and some of the elders at the time were praying for revival. And then God began to shake things up a little bit. And some young people died. I mean, they were young. And that community was shaken. And the fear of the Lord began to fall. I think sometimes God has to make stark examples to get people to recognize their time. This is no time to be light and casual, because we're in the last days. You know, we always talk about the last days coming. We're here. It's here. You see the handwriting on the wall. It's everywhere. We're here. And so they sobered up and the fear of the Lord fell. And many passages that bear out what I'm saying in Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah talks about the purge of Zion, and then the city is, you know, is beautiful, and judgment is there. Chapter 4 speaks of a purge of Zion. And we mentioned chapter 28, all squaring up to the stone. And chapter 33 speaks of a purge before the king reigns in Zion. But even in the upper room, when you come into the New Testament, most people do not realize where the upper room is setting. That upper room was on Mount Zion. And there was actually a sifting before the power of God fell on the upper room. Now, 500 of them heard the commission or the exhortation to wait at one time. They all had the knowledge of that. It doesn't say how many started out in the upper room. But we know there was 120 when it was all said and done. But I've heard Pastor Bailey even allude to that those 500 all should have been there in the upper room. And maybe they started off there, but, you know, before it was all over, there was 120 that were left when the Spirit was poured out. So, again, the Last Day Church has to come into order, and especially those who God wants to reproduce. Zion has some good fruit, and God works on that fruit too. If he wants to reproduce us, he takes a long time working on us, like he did Father Abraham. I mean, before Father Abraham actually reproduced, the Lord worked on him for about 25 years, and then the fruit that he brought forth, the Isaac, turned out to be 100-folder. God wants to work a certain perfection. Absolute perfection isn't going to come before revival, because a lot of it comes when the Spirit of God moves. But God always deals with a nucleus of people before he moves. One of the cardinal mistakes of this first move in First Chronicles was they were trying to bring the presence of God in on an ox cart. Now, if you recall from Bible history how the Philistines got rid of the presence of God, it was on an ox cart. So it was the wrong way to bring it in. They got rid of the presence of God on an ox cart, and here Israel is trying to bring the presence of God in on an ox cart. And, you know, this revival is going to die because this was way out of order. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, "For because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, that we sought him not after the due order." Well, that ark is not supposed to come up on a wagon. It's supposed to come up on the shoulders of four sanctified ministers. And God was not going to accept the way that ark came into Jerusalem. And so here's Uzzah. He's trying to study something that was totally out of order, something that was ushered in under the wrong premise. And he died, and we could say a lot about that. But, you know, the point is, we as ministers want to be sure our precepts, our doctrines are right. We're not trying to, well, you know, I went to a church for about 4.5 years where they were preaching a message that was wrong every single week. You know, if there's a false doctrine in a place, they're going to hit it every week. But we want to make sure we're not trying to study something that, or promote something, or deny something that's out of divine protocol. If the Lord allowed this revival to come under those auspices, it would have been God's sanction on something that was wrong. And so, in conclusion, looking at 1 Chronicles 15 and verse 14 through 15. So the priests and Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereof as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. They got things right. The leadership had to get things right before God would bless. And bless he did. But do you see that before any major move, there's always the dealing of God? As Pastor Topper was saying last night, you know, things are precarious as we get closer. And when the time of the promise draws nigh, the enemy rears his ugly head. And I think where revival comes, we all have to take good self-examination. Amen. I mean, look at, I preached this message in my own church a couple of weeks ago, so I'm not preaching to you. I preach it to myself, to our own church. And you do see, we're in kind of a dry time, but God does allow drought to come into a church just to test people's hearts. Where are they at? As in Amos, you know, they hear, oh, it's raining over in this city, let's go over here. And then they hear it's raining someplace else, it rains in one city and not another city, so they go here and there. But it says they're not satisfied. And they can run here and there, in the end, they're not satisfied. We want to stick with the vision, and we want to make sure that we ourselves are right before the Lord. And we don't want to be part of people that get cleansed out. But it is encouraging. But, you know, Hezekiah's revival, and we're not going to look at that for time's sake, but there was a house cleaning, major house cleaning. I mean, things were very bad before Hezekiah got into office. There's a major house cleaning. But the thing is, in 16 days, they had the house cleaned out. So, you know, it really doesn't have to be a long, long ordeal. And even from the time of this first attempt to have revival in David's time, I mean, in 3 months' time, this ark, as you know, got diverted into a man's house, and revival seemed to be birthed in a man's house, and all of Israel was hearing that the Lord was in this place. It was where the laws were being kept. And David said, okay, we want to get it right this time and bring the ark back. And they did. They adjusted, made a lot of adjustments, and they got it right. But 16 days. And things got cleaned out, and then the presence of the Lord came. But, you know, may we all take the position of the disciples in the upper room that were searching their hearts and saying, Lord, is it I? You know, Jesus made a statement and they're all searching their hearts. I said, Lord, is it I? Is there something that I'm doing that's out of order? Is my house out of order? Is my life out of order? Is there something that is keeping your presence from working in my life or in my church or in my house? Is my doctrine squaring up to the stone? We want our doctrine to square to the stone. Amen? The cornerstone. And Lord, if there's any adjustments that you want to make in my life, please. I want to make them. I want to finish well, as Brother Derek said. Or as Pastor Tucker prayed last night, search my heart, Lord. See if there is any wicked way in me. See if, is there something that I'm not seeing? Are there blind spots in me? I think we all have to kind of take that position. It's not a, we don't want to be pointing fingers. But as the old spiritual goes, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Lord, let my life be right. In spite of what anybody else is doing, I want your approval on my life. And I'll tell you what, when people do that, God will bring all of those people together, and they'll have the revival. Amen? I mean, sometimes we feel as though it'll never happen, as Pastor Topper said last night. But remember, Abraham had a promise of bringing forth seed that would touch the whole world, and he's going on for about 25 years. Now, we haven't got 25 years left to this dispensation. But God is perfecting the fruit that he wants to reproduce. So David got it right. They brought up the ark. In fact, Psalm 68 gives a nice picture of the ark coming into Jerusalem. Glorious revival. Let God arise. All the enemies were scattered. You know, the ark came up to Zion at that time when they really did have revival. God gave Israel dominion over every enemy. They subjugated every enemy round about. They had garrisons in every land, all of their enemy lands. God gave tremendous favor to Zion at that time. And it's here that the Lord said, now ask of me for the nations. And so, you know, David gives us a little picture of the true revival. The first one failed, but he got things corrected, and the next one came. Well, anyway, I believe this is where the church is today. God is sifting out our hearts, and may God give us favor and the ability to change. And as I said, the Lord led his people into conditions that really reveal their heart in the wilderness, didn't he? He led them into a place of drought and shortage and deprivation, and it was all to see their hearts. You know, there's a verse concerning Hezekiah, and this is later on, where the Lord said he left him to try him, to know what was in his heart. I believe it was Pastor Bailey who said, Lord, don't ever leave me. But there are times when God seemingly withdraws just to see what's in our heart, what we're going to do. Lord, I want my heart always to be right before you. And that's my attitude, and I believe that's all of our attitude here. We want to see revival come, but I think this is part of the process. God is sifting out our hearts and wants us to get things right so he can come and bless indeed and give us the nations. Amen? God bless you.